In this day and age that we live in, people will often say to you that God can do nothing. They reject the Lord, they reject the things of God. And yet I know for certain that God can do anything but fail. We're living in days, as I said, where people have no consideration for their eternity. No consideration for their lives. But yet God is a merciful God and willing to save. I think of a man a number of years ago I knew well, family friend. And this man, a number of years ago, he'd married and, you know, he wasn't saved. Really, his mindset was, well, I'm okay the way I am, but happened to be this one occasion, he walks down the stairs, or kind of runs down the stairs this Sunday evening. And as he runs down that stairs that Sunday evening, his wife says, well, where are you going? He says, I'm going to church. He arrived at one of our Free Presbyterian churches. He walked into the door. He heard the gospel preached, just simply preached a message about Christ. Now, that man came to know Christ as his personal Savior. But there's something more about that man. He couldn't read or write. He was illiterate. And often people will say to me, well, God can do nothing. But that man, the first book he ever began to read was the Bible. You see, God began to work upon his heart and give him love for the things of God. And as that man received, started to enjoy the things of God, started to love the things of God, and loved God with all his heart, he began to open up the Bible and he began to read. And maybe it was slow at the start, but the first book he began to read was the Word of God. Oh, what a joy it is to see this book and not only look at the Word of God and read it, but realize how alive it is. Realize how alive with it. And that man, having been caught back with sin for years, that man got life. And that man became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And we'll come back to him a little later. But as we read this passage of Scripture, there are many people who can read or write, but yet they will not read the Scriptures. I want to speak this evening on the events at the Garden of Eden. And as we do go through this passage of Scripture, I do trust the Lord will speak to your heart. And that not only will be a word, but be a word right for your heart. For I realize, and the longer I continue on preaching God's precious word, I realize that men are going out into a lost eternity. And I would love to see people coming to Christ. And the more desire that I have in my heart is like Paul says, that I might know him. Know him more. The events of the Garden of Eden. The first event is found in the first verse of this passage of Scripture. And the first event is that the plan that the serpent devised against our first parents. And we'll read that in the verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. First event, the plan the serpent devised against our first parents. God made Adam, and God made Eve. And God then, in turn, these people, Adam and Eve, received their names. And having made all things well, and as God made the world and blessed it, God said Adam and Eve in that Garden of Eden, they're looking over all the things, the animals, the plants, the trees, everything, they're looking after these things. But they're enjoying the presence of God. They're enjoying their time spent around with God. And they've known what it felt for God to walk in the cool of the evening and to talk with them. Yet in one moment of time, the devil seeks to come up with a plan to try and ruin humanity. But one thing I noticed the devil didn't rely on, and he didn't depend on, what that was, as I said this morning, the undeserved mercy of God. You see, as he tries to come against the first parents, his expectation is certain ruin. And he's devised his plan. Yet the devil devises his plan, and he thinks, if only I can get Adam. If only I can get Adam and Eve just to look away from God for a moment of time. If I can get them to look away from the things of God, if I can get Adam and Eve to look away and to look away from those things for a moment of time, I'll ruin them. I'll ruin them. And I'll be successful. You see, if you look at Satan in the scriptures, you'll know that all he desired to be was successful. He desired to be above God. He desired to be, as it were, a God himself, and to be that thing, that above God. But God is all powerful, God is all knowing, and God created all things. And he thought, I'll be a success if I ruin humanity. And he wants more. And he fails. But he comes to humanity and he says, I must ruin them. I must go against God. And the Bible tells us that he was subtle. He was coming up and devising that plan to go against them. And you know, as I thought of this passage of Scripture, did we not look this morning at what we all should do? The Bible says, look unto me, look to God. What was the plan of the devil? Just to get him for a moment to look away. To get their eyes away from the things of God. And many a person will do that today. They'll look away, or they'll look down, and look away from the things of God. The devil's subtle today, and he says, here, sure, just do this. Just take this, and should you walk this pathway, should maybe later on you could think about the things of God. And he gets people looking down, and gets people looking away, and he gets people to be distracted. You know what happens? They've no desire to be in the house of the Lord. They've no desire to try and think about the things of God. They've no desire to open up the Word of God. Child of God, let me just speak to you for a second. That should break our hearts. People have no desire to read God's precious Word. And people are willing to go out into a lost eternity without God. But the devil's subtle here, just as he is today. So much so that he devises this plan that he's going to take action against Adam. He's going to take action against Eve. And he's going to do all that he can to ruin Adam and Eve. And he comes along and he begins to speak and he comes to Eve. He said unto the woman, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And I don't know about you when you think of this picture, but it's as if the words are appealing. And it comes as if he's making himself appealing. He's making himself friendly. Because that's what the devil does. You look up on any advertisement in this country that goes maybe on the television or the internet or up on screens or anything else. You'll find that all those advertisements, they look so wonderful. They're subtle, you know. Some little thing. Yet they do not tell you that they ruin lives. They will not show you the effects of families and people's lives which have been ruined by the things that they're presenting to be so wonderful. And they want you just to think, everything will be okay. But you see, the devil is subtle. And the devil, as he is subtle, the devil tries to trick us into thinking that those things in the world are just but for a time. They are. He says, just for a moment, get your eyes. And I'll twist the word of God. And he begins to trick Adam and Eve. And he begins to get their eyes away from where their eyes should be. And he tries to get their mind, as it were, mixed up in what's going on and what's been said to them as well. And he begins to trick them. But as you read that verse of Scripture, the devil's beginning to question God. Why would Eve trust Satan, the serpent, over God? Why would Eve trust Satan's word over God's word? Why would she trust over God as Satan, who wants to ruin her life? Surely God, His word is true. And her eyes are beginning to cast away from the things of God. You have a subtle Satan, serpent. Second event is that the servant deceived our first parents. It's a plan, and now he's deceiving our first parents. So we'll read that through the verses 1 through to the verse and number 5. And it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, each of which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto this woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good from evil." Second event, as I said, is the serpent deceives our first parents. Satan begins to speak to Eve, and he says those words, "Hath God said?" There, as he does in that passage, he begins to put questions in her mind on the Word of God, and making Eve think about these things, and making Eve think, did God actually say that? And she answers, and really, if you read that passage, she's kind of flustered. She's not expecting this message to come, because nobody ever has questioned God. And she's beginning to get caught off guard. And the reason that she's caught off guard, because as I said, no one up to this point has questioned the things of God. Why did no one question God? Here's the answer: because no one needs to. Because all that God says is true. God made them just like God made you and me. God brought them into existence. God gave them the very breath of their bodies. He gave them life. They had no reason to question God, because they knew God's ways were perfect. But sin is presented right before their eyes, and they begin to look. And they consider it just as many consider sin today and grasp at it. And the devil begins to ask the question of Eve, and she gives an answer the best that she can. But they know God's way is perfect. But she gives her message. She gives a word. The reality here is that she's in a place of holiness. The reality here is that she could have called out for help. She could have cried, and she could have turned away. She could have walked, and she would have walked away from the subtleness of the devil. And she could have looked away from those things, but yet, the Bible says that she didn't. And he begins to deceive them. "Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden." And once Eve answers, and look at verse 2 and verse 3, it says, "The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." That woman, she should have walked away. But I want you to notice something immediately. The answer comes back. Immediately, the servant deceives the first parents, and he begins to answer them back. And it's not as if she's convincing. And he says, Do you know what, Eve? If you and Adam, look at verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He goes against the word of God. And as he goes against the word of God, he says, you know, you'll be different. But why would they want to be different? They're in bliss. They're in the place of holiness. But the serpent's convincing. And he tempts them. Oh, Adam and Eve, if only you'll take of the tree, the fruit of the tree. If only you'll partake of on the tree, then when you look upon it, when you gaze upon it, when you take it, he says you'll be like gods. See that in verse number 5 at the end of it. And in a moment of temptation, the serpent, the devil, convinces both them to consider sinning against God. But I want you to know something. In the very moment that happens, they begin to change. And I'm often reminded of that verse, and many a person, I'm sure, has said it from this pulpit, that sin will take you farther than you want to go. And Adam and Eve, as they've been living on this in the Garden of Eden, as God's been walking with them, as there's been that time of fellowship, now as at this moment of time, as they begin to realize that temptation's real, as the subtle devil comes in, he begins to convince them, and he convinces them both to consider sinning. But why? But in the moment it happens, they begin to change. And that's why, thirdly, there's a third event. It is the actions of our first parents, found in verse number 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat and give also unto her husband, with her, and he did eat. And he did eat. He begins to gaze in the temptation. She begins to, as it were, walk that portion of time away over towards. And she begins to gaze greater and greater. And there is that desire to accept that temptation. You see, the devil's subtle. Having been tempted, they look at it and begin to wonder, is it exactly as he says? What will it do when we eat this fruit? And they look upon the food and the food and the food upon it. It looks good to eat. And it looks like a blessed thing before them. It says it was desired. It was pleasant. And the Bible says, they wondered about wisdom. They take action. The Bible says in verse 6, and they did eat, and did eat and gave to her husband, and he did eat with her. And temptation led them to take action. Eve eats. Adam eats. And I want you to notice that Adam wasn't away off somewhere hiding. Says that she ate and she gave to her husband. He was right there. He should have said no. But he was right there. And the Bible says he partook of it. He took of it. Meaning that he was there with her. And their actions caused an effect upon their lives. Because whenever they ate of that fruit of that tree, they became different. Because there's an action, there is a partaking. But there's also a change. A change in our first parents is found in verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. Think about this for a moment. They're in the Garden of Eden. They've no need for anything. God has provided all for them. Now they've eaten of the tree. God said, don't eat. They're off. And the very moment that they ate of the tree, they knew that they were different. The very moment that they ate with that tree, they knew that they were not the same as they once were. And the Bible tells us in that verse 7 that their eyes of both of them were opened. Their eyes were opened. And once they sinned, do you notice something that happens in this passage of Scripture, verse 7? Not only was their eyes opened, but their appearance began to change. Their appearance began to change. It says, and they sewed fig trees together and made themselves an apron, or made things to gird themselves around about. And they begin to change. They begin to put those clothes on. And immediately they become different. And they change from what they used to be. And the very fact that they changed their appearance in itself was different. They were acknowledging that they were not what they once were. And there's many a person today, and maybe they sat alongside you before, but they're far from God. And they change their appearance. They change the places where they go, and they're different from they once were before. And you can see they're not what they once were, but they know too. And they change their appearance because they try to be like the world. But they sin in their heart and they know that they're not satisfied. And Adam and Eve, they know they're not satisfied. They know that they're not satisfied, but they've sinned against God and their appearance has changed. There's a change in their lives. And it says, and they know that they were, knew that they were naked. They knew they were different. And let me just think for a moment, when someone gets gloriously saved, they know they're different too. You know the difference. You know that God has saved you. You know that God loves you. You know that the change in your life isn't that you love the world anymore. The old song says, the world behind me. And we look away from the world and we look to the things of God. But Adam and Eve in this passage of Scripture, they're different. They're not what they once were. But there's another event. Now there's fear. The fear of our first parents. Look at verse 8. It says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of God. You know, God knew what was going on there. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. You see, once they sinned, their appearance changed. Once they sinned, they feared. They began to fear. And once they sinned, they began to hide themselves. They tried to hide their sin. And they knew that God would know. They knew that God would know. And if he didn't know, he would soon find out. And their sins were now exposed before them. And they feel, as it were, in a place of a hopelessness. And they feel helpless. And you know something? Maybe for the first time, they feel, as it were, alone. Because they followed the pathway of sin. And that's why it's so important to look up and look to God. Rather than that sin allowing you to just at one moment to go down that pathway. And they fear. And they fear because they're trying to hide their sins and they're trying to make amends for things that they've done. and just exposes them. They put on, they get this apron and they tie those fig leaves together, and it exposes them of their sin, because they know God knows and they know that God knows. And as they look here in this passage, they do so because they've changed. There's a fear. But there's another event. The call of God to our first parents. It says in that verse number 9, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Where art thou?" You know, I love to see parents bringing their children to church. I love to see little children. I love to see young adults, young men and young women gathered in the house of God. Maybe there's someone here, a person who's a young, as a family, a young child has never received, a young person's never received. Maybe you're listening online. I thank the Lord for parents who have a concern for their children, that want them to be under the Word of God, that want them to hear God's precious Word, a desire that they would know about the things of God, that they would early in life come to know what it means to be truly born again. You know, it melts my heart every night. I've got 4 children. The youngest one's 5-year-old, just passed on December 18th. It melts my heart every night when he begins to pray. He's down to pray, and he begins to pray before God. And he says, "I just prayed. I just asked God." And then he begins to tell you exactly what he's told God. You know, it melts your heart just to see them to pray. And you know, sometimes I look at my little 5-year-old, and he begins to sing those little children's songs around the house, and he begins to quote verses that many other person really forgot. And you know, it's so lovely just to see a little child. And that's not just because it's my child. And I thank the Lord for your children to do that as well. It's a loving thing. It's a lovely thing. It melts our heart to see it. God working in lives. But God says here to Adam and Eve, he says, "Where art thou?" And he individually calls upon him. He says, "Adam! Adam, where art thou?" Here's the call of God that brings further fear to the hearts of Adam and Eve. They knew that they've sinned. They've known that they're against God. And they know exactly that they are wrong. And they've done wrong. They did. What do you think they did? They hid. And they hid because they knew that this call exposed them for what they were, sinners in the eyes of God. I wonder what your answer would be if you were asked that question, "Where art thou?" Let me ask it a little differently. Where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? You say to me, "Preacher, with confidence, I'm going to heaven because I love him because he first loved me. He gave his life for me. I'm washed in the precious blood of a lamb. I've been cleansed by the precious blood. He knows my name. I know him." One of the most loving things I get in a child of God this evening, think of this. The loving thing I know is that every time I lay my head in the bed at night, I know God loves me. But here God's speaking to Adam, and he says, "Where art thou?" And the call comes. Adam's in the Garden of Eden. But maybe there's a person, and you know this evening you're without God. You know that you're not saved. You know that if you die in your sin, you'll go out into a lost eternity. You know that you'll go into a place called hell and face damnation and without God. But if you trust in God this evening, you'll go to heaven. And I ask you this evening, where art thou going and how do you live? And the call comes out for you this night to be born again. There's a final event. Let me just briefly come to the final event. The effects of the deeds of our first parents. And you'll find in those verses, I'll not read them together because of time, but verse 9 through to verse 13. And then verse 23, you'll find the effects. Temptation comes, and instead of them yielding not to temptation, Adam and Eve give in to the temptation. And God says, "Where art thou?" And they hear his voice. And as he comes in the cool of the evening, as he begins to walk in that garden, and has caused them distress as he calls out, and they have to admit their sin. And they know that they've sinned, and they point. There's no point in saying, "I didn't do it," because God knows. And there's no point you saying, "I'm not a sinner," because God knows exactly how you've sinned. God knows all about you. He says, "Adam and Eve, what have you done? Adam, what have you done? Eve, what have you done?" And Adam begins to blame Eve, and Eve begins to blame the serpent. The deed's done, and they face God. The deed's done. You have to face what God sends their way. But you know something? The devil wanted to destroy Adam and Eve, but God's merciful. He's merciful. And God says, "Yes, you've sinned, but I'm going to send a Savior." You can read that in verse 15. He's going to send a Savior. And then God says, "Therefore the Lord sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground." He says, you're not going to be annihilated, but you're going to be cast out. I wonder this evening, are you willing to admit before God? Now, it's not to a preacher, not to a person, but admit to God that you're a sinner before a holy and righteous God. Are you admitting that you've committed sins against God? And you know, because you know in your conscience that you've sinned, and you've sinned against God. And the question this evening, what have you done? And if you don't accept Christ, let me be perfectly clear. You will face the consequences of your sin. And God, who is the judge of all things, will judge you for your sin. And the wages of sin is death. But I want to give you confidence this evening. I want to give you confidence because of two things. And we'll come to them in a second. God shows Adam and Eve that there's consequences for their sin. But he also shows mercy. Because God could have destroyed them just in a moment of time due to their sins. But God's merciful. And the first sign of mercy is found in that verse number 23. "Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence it was taken." And God is mercifully, instead of destroying, puts him on earth. But there's another merciful thing. He says, "I'm going to send a Savior." And he says, "I will put an enmity between thee and the woman, and that between thy seed and her seed, and I will bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And there we find there's a promise of a Savior. A Savior is willing to take away your sin this evening. Our first parents, like you, have sinned. And the consequences of their sin is they're put out of the Garden of Eden. They're no longer in the Garden of Eden. There's no longer that temptation of taking upon that tree. But try to realize for a moment, just like you, you've been found out. They were found out. Your sins are ever before you. And you can try to dress your sins up whatever way you want to, but it's still a sin before God. But Adam and Eve had to admit it. "I'm a sinner. I've sinned. And so do you." For just as God allowed them a way back, even though our first parents were so disappointing, and if you look at that part of the passage, maybe you think, "Preacher, but I've gone too far." Let me tell you, there's a way back. Just come to Christ tonight. I started my message this evening talking about a man. A man who was illiterate, and the first book he learned was the Bible. He was a married man. He was a father. Tonight that man's home in heaven. Because of the way of the cross led him home. And even though he couldn't read or write, he realized that God, before God, he was a sinner. And realized that the only way for him to get to be born again was to be saved. And now he gazes in the face of God. He's in glory. Praise God, someday I'll go to meet him too. And many will hear too. But let me ask you, as I close this meeting, will you? Will you meet such a person in glory? Will you not get saved this evening? Come to Christ. Admitting that there's many events in your life which have led you up to this point. And tonight you know you need to be born again. Will you come to Christ? Will you be saved? And will you have your sins washed away being born again? Let's close our meeting in a word of prayer. Thank you for spending time with us around God's word this evening.